birth of Isaac, we saw God's faithfulness in fulfilling his promise to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son, even in their old age, and even though Sarah was barren. But in our passage this morning, God is testing Abraham's faith. And it's not because God didn't know whether or not Abraham would be faithful. God knows. The test is for Abraham's benefit. The test is so that he would realize and demonstrate how strong his faith is, which will in turn grow Abraham's faith to be even stronger. So let's read through Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing, I have not withheld and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived in Beersheba. Would you pray with me? Father, you are the Almighty God, the God that is in control of everything. And we thank you for that. We thank you for not leaving it up to us. Father, we thank you for this message this morning and a chance to just see how you provided what Abraham needed, what Israel needed, and what we all need. Just thank you for loving us the way you do, Father. We pray that we have open hearts and open minds this morning and we learn what you're trying to teach each and every one of us through this message. We pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Moses starts off in verse 1 by saying, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.'" Now, after these things refers to the events in Abraham's past, and especially the events in the preceding chapter, the birth of Isaac and the sending away of Ishmael. See, Isaac is now Abraham's only son. And after these things also implies the passage of time. So some time has gone by. Moses went on to say that God tested Abraham. Well, in the school of faith, we need to go through a test every once in a while, or we'll never know where we are spiritually. But we shouldn't think that every tough situation or every bad circumstance is a test from God. A lot of times, those hardships are due to our own disobedience. That's what causes our pain and our disappointment. Other times, it could be a temptation that comes from our desires within us. Now, of course, any experience could become a test or a temptation, depending on how we deal with it. This story was in an article on todayschristian.com. On May 17th, 2008, Christian recording artist Stephen Curtis Chapman and his family suffered a devastating loss. Their 5-year-old adopted daughter, Maria, was struck and killed when Chapman's 17-year-old son was backing his SUV out of the family's driveway. After much prayer and counsel, Chapman recently returned to touring to promote his newest album. Elizabeth Diffin, a freelance reporter, attended one of Chapman's concerts and writes about the experience. She said, "It's not often you leave a concert reflecting on the words of a song by a different artist. But as I exited the July 24, 2008, Stephen Curtis Chapman event, the words of a Matt Redman worship song echoed through my head." See, Chapman opened the concert with "Blessed Be Your Name," just 2 months after the death of his 5-year-old daughter, Maria Sue, in a tragic accident at the family's home. "Blessed Be Your Name" was the first song Chapman sang on May 21st, the day of Maria's death, when he wasn't sure he'd ever be able to sing again. Inspired by the story of Job, at one point the lyrics repeat, "He gives and takes away." As I sang the song, it wasn't a song. It was a cry, a scream, a prayer, Chapman explained to the audience of about 5,000. "I found an amazing comfort and peace that surpasses all understanding." Chapman also shared that after Maria's death, he reconsidered the words to all of his songs and whether he could still sing and believe them. Instead, losing his little girl brought the meaning of some of those songs into sharper focus. One example was "Yours," which addresses how everything in the world belongs to God. And in this song in particular, "I had come to a new realization," he said. "There's not an inch of creation that God doesn't look at and say, 'All that is mine.'" As a result of that realization in conjunction with Maria's death, Chapman added a new verse to "Yours." "I've walked the valley of death's shadow, so deep and dark that I could barely breathe. I've had to let go of more than I could bear, and I've questioned everything that I believe. Still, even here in this great darkness, a comfort and hope comes breaking through, as I can say in life or death, 'God, we belong to you.'" The way we handle the situations we're facing makes a difference in their outcome. So it's important that we learn to look at our situation and determine whether the hardship we're going through was caused by temptation within us, or is it a trial that God has allowed to test and strengthen our faith? And that's what James is referring to in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, when he said, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." So James is telling his readers to make sure they know the difference between trials and temptations. See, Satan uses temptations to deceive us and bring out the worst in us, while God allows trials in our lives to fulfill his purposes and bring out the best in us. So Abraham has already experienced a number of tests. I'm not going to go down through them all, but he is about to experience the most difficult test of his life. This is what God said to him in verse 2. He said, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." How could God ask Abraham to kill his son? I mean, not only did Abraham love Isaac dearly, Isaac was the son of the promise. Remember when God first called Abram to leave his homeland and his family? He left behind his past and he moved forward with God's promise of making him a great nation. After 10 years of waiting for a child, he received Ishmael by Hagar. That was Sarah's servant. And after another 15 years of waiting, Abraham and Sarah received Isaac. And as we saw last week, there was laughter in Abraham's home after Isaac was born. But then Abraham had to send Ishmael away, because Isaac is the son of the promise. Isaac was the future. In him, all the blessings God had promised were guaranteed. Through Isaac, Abraham would become a great nation. Without Isaac, it could not come true. Through Isaac, Abraham would become a blessing to all the families of the earth. Without Isaac, it couldn't come true. See, Isaac was the embodiment of all God's promises. Isaac was the focus of all of Abraham's hope. And now God was asking Abraham to offer Isaac on an altar as a burnt offering. Can you just imagine what might have gone through Abraham's head that night? He must have been tossing and turning. He must have been wondering if it was a dream or did God really speak to him. Well, let's look at the trial. This is verses 3 through 10. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there. We will worship and return to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So the first thing we see here in verse 3 is that Abraham didn't hesitate. He obeyed immediately. It's the same way he responded back in chapter 11 when God called him to leave his homeland. And the writer of Hebrews mentions this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. He said, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." See, Abraham never questioned God. He doesn't consider how unreasonable God's request seems. He doesn't sit there and wait around for days trying to decide what to do. He immediately obeys God's command. When God allows trials in our lives, usually our first response is, "Why, Lord?" followed up by, "Why me?" Right away, we want God to give us an explanation, even though we know that God has a reason for testing us. Sometimes it's to purify our faith. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, can be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So trials may be allowed to purify our faith. Other times God may allow trials to perfect our character. That's why James said in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So even though we know God has a reason for allowing trials in our lives, sometimes we still fail to see how this applies to us, and that causes us to hesitate. But Abraham didn't do that. Abraham heard God's word, and he immediately obeyed it by faith. He got up early and got ready for the journey. He saddled his donkey, grabbed a couple of men to go with him, split some wood for the offering, and they headed out. When they got to where Abraham could see the place they were going to off in the distance, he left the two men there, and he and Isaac continued on. But what Abraham said in verse 5 to the two men before they left, that shows how strong Abraham's faith was. Verse 5, "Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you.'" Notice what Abraham said? "We will worship and return to you," implying that both he and Isaac would return. He didn't doubt God's promise. And verse 6 tells us that Abraham laid the wood on Isaac as they walked together. Now, there are different thoughts on how old Isaac was at this time, but he was probably a teenager, but he was at least old enough to carry the wood for the burnt offering. Then in verse 7, Isaac asked a question. "Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' And he said, 'Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?'" Now, you would think Abraham would have been struggling to answer that question. But his answer in verse 8 once again reflects his faith in God's promise. Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Abraham confidently responded to Isaac, completely trusting in God's promise that through Isaac, he will become a great nation. Verses 9 and 10 tell us, "Then they came to a place of which God had told them, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." So Abraham was following God's instruction. He was ready to sacrifice his only son. How could Abraham do that? How could he tie up his own son and prepare to kill him? Well, Abraham believed God's promise. He believed that Isaac would give him many descendants. He knew that God's will never contradicts God's promises. Abraham had resurrection faith. He believed that if he sacrificed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead in order to fulfill his promise. That's why the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.' He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type." He believed God would raise Isaac. And then finally, in verses 11 through 19, we see the triumph. Verses 11 and 12 tell us that, "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham never questioned God. He obeyed completely. And that's why when he was teaching the Romans about Abraham, Paul said in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he," meaning Abraham, "did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." We do the same thing. Just like Abraham, whenever we obey God's word, we bring glory to God. Then in verses 13 and 14, we see God's provision. "Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it will be provided.'" So God's purpose in the trial had been completed. Abraham's faith had been proven genuine. And just like Abraham, God allows trials in our lives to prove whether or not our faith is genuine. Trials aren't for God's benefit. They're for our benefit. He already knows how strong our faith is. That's why Job said in Job chapter 23, verse 10, "But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." So because Abraham was faithful, God provided the ram. Abraham offered the ram as a burnt offering instead of Isaac. Because the ram dies, Isaac lives. Now, the point of this story for Israel would have been that the Lord provides a ram for the burnt offering so that Isaac, and through him, Israel, can live. And finally, verses 15 through 19 tell us, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.' So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived in Beersheba." So we see the Lord speak to Abraham a second time. And once again, he promised Abraham that through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That seed was, first of all, Isaac, then Jacob, then Joseph. The Israelites would have been encouraged by this story because it teaches them that God had provided a way for them in the past, and he would provide a way for their redemption in the future. And ultimately, the seed is Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, all nations will be blessed. God has provided his own Son as a sacrificial lamb so that his people around the world might live. God loves you so much that he sacrificed his only Son so that you can have your sins forgiven and you can have eternal life. If we truly give our lives to Christ and we accept the salvation that he offers us, there's no way we can ever lose that salvation. It's guaranteed. Listen to what Paul told the Roman church in Romans chapter 8. In verse 32, he said, "He who did not spare his own son but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" And then in verses 37 and 39 through 39, he said, "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." The God who stopped Abraham from sacrificing his only son is the same God who loves us so much that he offered up his one and only son for the forgiveness of our sins. And now nothing at all can separate us from the love of God, the love that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So no matter how difficult our trials might be, we can trust God for our salvation. He provided the ram so that Isaac and Israel could live. He provided his only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, this is